Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Reproduce Yourself, Principles of Disciple Making. In this session, we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 1, the making of disciples. 1 Corinthians 11:1 reads, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." When the patterns of the Bible and prayer are established in your walk with Jesus Christ, the next step is to begin to reproduce yourself. How? By discipling others, the making of disciples. I am discipled and begin to disciple others. There are two foundational principles regarding disciple making. It takes a disciple to make a disciple. Howard Hendricks famously said, "You cannot impart what you do not possess, and you only need a short head start." Jesus Christ is our example. Consider his method of training his followers. Our objective is to learn from him. First, Jesus demonstrated his training method with the 12. His objective was to make disciples, not just converts. We want new believers to be mature. Jesus' time was short. Jesus' confidence was in 12 men. Jesus' strategy was to build a deep commitment in the lives of a few faithful men and women. Jesus' goal was to produce his divine life and resources in the lives of his followers. Second, Jesus carried out his ministry in concentric circles, those circles that start close and then continue to go out, kind of like a dropping a pebble in the pond and the circles go out. This is a valuable insight to learn. The Lord invested his maximum time equipping those who would bear the maximum spiritual responsibility in the future life of the church. Consider how the Lord prioritized his ministry. At times, he only trained one person. Other times, he trained three, Peter, James, and John. Most of the time, he spent with the 12. Mark chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 reads, "Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. He also ministered to 70 witnesses and he sent them out two by two. 120 disciples in Jerusalem and 500 believers in Galilee. Beyond this, the crowds to whom he preached." Jesus' pattern, a series of concentric circles. He preached to many, he preached to some, he discipled few. It's much like preaching sermons, teaching classes, and one-on-one discipleship. And then third, Jesus established our pattern in Mark chapter 4 and verse 19. "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." His faithful followers did as he did. They followed the example of Jesus Christ. They ministered within small groups. They trained individuals. And they discipled converts to become reproducing Christians. Let me give you a few prominent examples in the early church. There was the ministry of Barnabas, Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Then if you go ahead to Acts chapter 9, verse 27, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And then Acts chapter 11, verses 19 down to verse 26. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. And then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. And then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. So he had the ministry of Barnabas discipling and seeking to bring to maturity the new Christians as disciples. And then there's also the ministry of Paul. He likely learned his methods of discipling initially from Barnabas, who probably learned from Peter. Acts chapter 15, verses 34 to verse 36. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. And Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." And in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, "Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek." And then Acts chapter 20 and verse 4, "And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia." So you had the ministry of Barnabas seeking to grow the disciples to maturity. And you had Paul also working to reach the disciples to bring them to maturity. And then you had the ministry of Peter. He apparently encouraged and trained John Mark after his failure on mission with Barnabas and Paul. If you look at Acts chapter 13 and verse 13, you read where that occurred. "Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." And then in Acts chapter 15, verses 37 and 38, after they decided to go back to see how the churches are doing, "Now Barnabas," verse 37, "was determined to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone on with them to the work." And then 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13 says, "She who is in Babylon elect together with you greets you, and so does Mark, my son." He's referring to him as his son, his son in the Lord, as Paul referred to Timothy. So Peter came to be an important part in the life of John Mark after his failure, and then spending time with his with Barnabas. In 2 Timothy chapter 11, Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me in ministry. So Mark went from the place of failure on the mission field to Paul not wanting to take him back with him and Barnabas taking him. And then Peter coming into his life and obviously discipling him and to the point where he calls him his son, essentially his son in the Lord. And then he's now a mature believer, a mature disciple who Paul asks for. The one who rejected taking him with him now wants him to come because, as it says, he's useful to me for ministry. And church history records that that John, the apostle, discipled Polycarp, excuse me, who in turn discipled Irenaeus. And those two godly men, Polycarp and Irenaeus, became great leaders in the post-apostolic early church. What's the point? Well, the point is this. We're saved to a calling of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and to make disciples. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So go out with the authority, the power of Jesus Christ to make disciples and then baptize them as a witness to their new life and then teach them. Disciple them. Teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Disciple them to maturity of faith, to maturity in their walk with Jesus. And know that I'm going to be with you the whole way. Well, let me ask you, will you make a commitment to be a reproducing disciple? Will you do that? You think about all that, and you have a great day.